We'd like to have a sampling tonight. Went by Sam's this afternoon, and if you're familiar with that store, you know that they allow you to sample a lot of their goods. They had some nice Valentine fudge today. That was a good sampling. I'd like to have a sampling tonight. Not of the fudge, from the Psalms. So, you remember that we said when we gave our overview of Psalms last week that it's a book that's somewhat neglected by Christians, overlooked by busy Christians, I think. The wonderful things that are in Psalms will be appreciated by anyone who spends any time reading them and thinking about them. And so tonight, one familiar little phrase that you see in many different Psalms is the concept, "I am resolved," but the New American Standard Version particularly, "I will do something," the psalmist writes. And there are several of those, "I will," in the book of Psalms. So let's look at some of those tonight, because these will even strengthen our resolve to be as the psalmist is in various cases. First, one thing that you, if I just threw out a phrase that said, I will praise and worship God, what book of the Bible emphasizes that? You probably would immediately come back and say, well, Psalms emphasizes that all the way through. And that's just right. Psalm 34 and 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart." In Psalm 9 and verse 1, "I'll give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, and I will tell of all your wonders." Psalm 86, verses 11 and 12, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, and with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever." You see the wonderful position of the heart in all of that. Reminiscent very much of what Jesus said in response to the question he received, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." Very, very much similar to that is what you see in the Psalms. We praise and worship God for what he's done for us. "I will give you thanks forever because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones." An appeal to God there. Because of what God has done to bless the lives of individuals. And in the midst of the assembly too, "I will tell your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." And that goes on in this assembly, doesn't it? That very thing from Psalm 22 and verse 22. There are psalms which give thanks. "I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me," in Psalm 13 and verse 6. Reminiscent of what we find in the New Testament in Colossians 3 and 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell richly," or "richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts." Psalm 89 and verse 1, "I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth." Anyone who walks into this assembly may be blessed during one of our psalm services as they hear us sing words of a spiritual nature and set to music. And music is very touching to people who listen to it. I will worship God and praise God with all of my life. In Psalm 104 and verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. As long as I'm in my right mind, as long as you are in your right mind, praise God with all of your being for His wonderful nature, for who He is, and for what He's done to bless man. Psalm 45 and verse 2, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. You know, the psalmist that wrote this fully believed that this is what a person should do at various times during the day in their lives, is to bless God every day, every opportunity. So those are just a sampling about what the Psalms show in praise to God and in worship to God. There are many, many others. I am resolved. I will speak of God in Psalm 9 and verse 1. I want to tell His marvelous works to other people just like the psalmist. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I'll tell somebody else how great you are. I'll tell somebody else how wonderful you are and what good things that you have done and will do for them if they will praise you and honor you. Psalm 77 and verse 11, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will remember the things that you did for your people. God is the sentiment of this particular psalm. And I want to do that because I want to perpetuate the name of God. I want to carry it on. What better thing could we use in this country today than people who are perpetuating the name of God? It seems like there are far too many people that are trying to erase the name of God from our culture, from our society, from our wonderful nation. We don't want to do that. Psalm 45 and verse 17, I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the peoples will give you thanks forever and ever. That's one of the reasons we want to perpetuate the name of God. We want them to honor God and to be thankful so that they won't be swept up in all the wickedness that will come their way when they fail to honor God and fail to give Him thanks. Romans 1. We want to make sure that we teach our children. We want to make definitely sure that we speak to our children about God. Psalm 78, 5 through 8. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children in verse 5. That the generation might come to know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. You know, that's what... There are two avenues open for our children, and we want to make sure that we encourage them to take the right one. Psalm 66, come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell of what He has done for my soul. I want to, of course, speak of God to my children, have them understand things about God. I want to be able to tell the whole world this, and I want to be able to fulfill what Paul told Timothy to do when he said, you entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. I want to exhort others, all who fear God, tell what He's done for my soul. Like Barnabas at Antioch, then he arrived and witnessed the grace of God. When he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. That's the kind of person I want to be. That's the kind of person you want to be with other people, and encourage them to remain true to the Lord. Paul and Barnabas were preaching, and they were, in Acts 14 and verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. That's so very important. Paul to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done to edify, or for edification there in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. How very important that is. I will speak of God. I will not only worship and praise God, I will speak of God. Also, I will trust in God. That's where my trust will be. His word is firm. His word is sure. His promises are reliable. Psalm 11 and verse 1, in the Lord I take refuge. Because it's a place where there is full assurance and full reliance. I will trust in God for salvation even from my enemies. In Psalm 18 and verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. God has a hand in that. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. In Psalm 55 and verse 16. Psalm 116 and verse 13, I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You see the appeals made by the psalmist to open up that avenue to Almighty God for good things. We can trust in God. He is the salvation that we're looking for from our enemies. What sort of enemies would we be looking for a salvation? Well, one of the greatest enemies in this life for us is sin. God can strengthen us. God can help us overcome that. Satan walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't care what you think, what you feel, who you are, where you come from, or how many years you've been a member of such and such congregation. Satan doesn't care anything about that. His sole effort is to derail your faith and destroy your soul by so doing. God can help us with that most powerful enemy that we face in this life. He can provide salvation for us when Satan works at us through other people. Faithless people, men who are unreasonable and evil, as Paul referred to them in 2 Thessalonians 3. God is our shield and our fortress. We trust in God when we're afraid. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. Are you a person who can go through life, your whole entire life, and not ever be afraid of anything? Be honest. Be honest. Because fear of different things affects us in adverse ways. And so, just like the psalmist, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. David is an example that immediately comes to mind. Being pursued by King Saul, threatened with murder. David was afraid at times, but he put his trust in God and God delivered him. We can be afraid of life in general, things that happen in life in general. But let us, like the Apostle Paul, in Philippians 4 and verse 13, remember that we too can do all things through Christ, or Him that strengthens me. Some people are afraid of death. Some people rightfully should be afraid of death. But death is the great unknown for every person. You have not experienced death and come back to life to tell about it. It's the great unknown. But if we put our trust in God, we do not have to live our lives afraid of death. God is with us. For me to live is Christ, Paul said, but to die is gain. Let us trust those words that were given to him by the Holy Spirit to reveal the will of God. We don't have to be afraid when there are difficult tasks ahead of us in this life, because God is with us. We trust in God when we remember His precepts. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. The psalmist said in 119 and verse 93. It's very much similar to what Jesus said when He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Very much similar to that. So, I am resolved to trust in God. The Psalms teach me that. I embrace that teaching. I want it to become me. I want it to that's who I am. I will trust in God. I will walk in truth. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name in Psalm 86 and verse 11. That calls for a singleness of devotion, doesn't it? Having our eye single, a singleness of devotion. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, Paul told the Hebrew Christians, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We walk in truth by applying divine wisdom to our lives. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Applying that divine wisdom to the actual living of life. Practical Christianity, James wrote about in his letter. James 3 and verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Walk in truth before all men. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21, for we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Walk in truth in our homes. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. How very important it is for us to walk in God's way in the privacy of our homes. I will walk in the way of truth concerning every evil thing. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. Keep that pure heart. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Keep a pure heart in the sight of God. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5 and verse 8. That's one of the great statements of our Lord on the mountain where He gave a sermon. The Sermon on the Mount. We have to maintain moral purity, of course. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I might proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. Maintain that moral purity in order for us to be in the presence of God. John wrote in his short letter in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus. His Son cleanses us from all sin. Walk in truth to avoid corruption and danger that seems to be around every turn, everywhere we look in our lives today, in our society, in our town, in our county. Everywhere we look, there seems to be corruption and evil. Let us walk in truth with God and avoid the corruption and danger that's out there. Be not deceived, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Bad company corrupts good morals. Walk in truth to obtain the mercy of God. I will confess my iniquity. I'm full of anxiety. Also, walking in truth, I will walk in truth. I am resolved also, and I will strengthen or develop my faith to ensure that it is very strong. It will help me to make it through. I will confess my iniquity. I'm full of anxiety because of my sin. James 4 and verse 10 admonishes us in the New Testament to humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. We develop our faith when we control our tongues. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue in Psalm 39 and verse 1. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. Speak things that are good. Let your speech be always with grace, Paul told the Colossians in Colossians 4 and verse 6, as though seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you are to respond to each person. Do not speak evil. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And the Psalms, of course, would do that, won't they? Develop my faith by judging uprightly about things. Psalm 75 and verse 2, when I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. Judge without hypocrisy in Matthew 5, 1 through 5. Judge righteous judgment. Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance. Judge righteous judgment in John 7 and verse 24. Develop your faith by studying and teaching the things of God. In Psalm 77, 11 and 12, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. I will meditate on those things. I'll think about them. And I'll think about what they mean to me and others in this life. And I'll be blessed as a result of that. Develop your faith by remembering your sin. Take it to God. Control your tongue. Judge uprightly. Study and teach the things of God. And those that do that, their faith will be strengthened. It will be developed. I am resolved to develop my faith. I am resolved, and I will live in faithful remembrance. Remembrance of the Word of God and the will of God from Psalm 119, the longest book in the Bible, but a very precious one. Without knowing God's Word, we certainly cannot do God's will. Psalm 19, 119, verse 15 and 16, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. And then in verse 47 of Psalm 119, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. An eye-opening expression there from the psalmist. Live in faithful remembrance by being thankful for God's judgments. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. You know, most of the time in our relationship with other people, we're primarily concerned about our view. And we're right in our view. And if people don't think so, they should just ask us and we'll tell them we're right in our view, right? But What do we want to be right in? If our view matches God's view, we can be fully assured that our view is right. Don't you think? If God's views are right. God's ordinances are right. Everything that God commands us to do is for a good reason, and He's right to do it, and we're right to accept it. And if we tell other people that, we're right. You really want to be right? You tell others the Word of God. You'll be right every time then. Live in faithful remembrance for the things of God. A faithful Christian always remembers to be thankful that God's judgments overrule all of the injustices of any man in this life. And he continues to be faithful. So don't lose heart when evil appears to be winning. Therefore I ask you, Paul said in Ephesians 3 and verse 13, not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. Be thankful for God's judgment. The victory over evil really belongs to Christ. Paul to the Romans in Romans 8 and verse 37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Live in faithful remembrance by carefully obeying all of God's laws. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly in Psalm 119 and verse 8. Reminds us of Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Have you enjoyed your sampling tonight? I hope you did as much as I enjoyed that double dark chocolate fudge sample that I had this afternoon. Just a little bit. Just a little sample. And so, a little sample for you tonight from the Psalms. Because maybe it will remind you of the good and precious things that are in that book. And how it could, at this time in your life, fit into where you are and how you live and help you and strengthen your faith. And be good, something good in your life. Something good for you that will bless you. And you'll be thankful. You'll be thankful to God. And that thankfulness toward God will increase. Being a Christian takes resolve of heart. It takes dedication of life. Fight the good fight. Stay the course. Keep the faith. Look to the reward ahead. Just as Paul to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. He was a human being. He wasn't a divine angel. He was a human being, and yet he could say, I kept the faith. And he went on to say, in future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. May that same sentiment be true in the lives of you and of me this very day. If you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian, we'd like for you to seriously think about what you are missing in this life. You are missing an abundant life now. You are missing the hope of eternal life after this very brief and short life is over. If we can help you in any way to become a Christian tonight because you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess Him before men, that you will repent of your sins as was commanded by the apostles as they carried on the work of Christ, converting people, baptizing them. If you'll be willing to be baptized like the converts in the book of Acts, baptized in water for the remission of sins, you can rise up out of that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, being what God wants you to be. And you be faithful, He has a place for you in the eternal kingdom. We can help you with that tonight. And there's no greater desire that you could have in this life than to be a Christian and serve God. We want to help you with that if that's your desire. And if it is, please come and let us know and we'll help you. We'll also pray with you and pray for you. Any way we can help you walk closer to God when you leave this place than when you first came in, we'd be happy to do it. Please come and let us know how we might help you while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.